Next, David gives some practical steps to the practice of meditation.
Meditation, of course, has a great history going back thousands of years, and almost everybody does it in either a Hindu or a Buddhist style. Meditation is part of Christianity, but it is not stylized like it is in Eastern religions. I tell people, the more simple you can make it, the better. You just sit quietly, and the way I recommend it is you sit quietly and you close your eyes. Now, if you do that and you look straight ahead, you'll notice it's not only just dark, but there are tiny, tiny, tiny dancing little pinpoints of light. Those are called, I think, Fos genes. And you just stare straight ahead. Now, some people say also concentrate on the breathing. To me, that's even too complicated, but you can, if you like, become aware of the breathing. And then what you do is become the witness of the phenomena that arise within the mind. You don't try to do anything about it, follow them. You don't try to suppress thought. You become a witness of that which parades across the mental landscape. You begin to study it with constant focus. You become aware that thoughts are not following each other. The sequence is one of witnessing. Actually, thoughts are coming out of nothingness. People say, I can't meditate because there's all these thoughts. And they try to stop thoughts. You waste time, you cannot stop thoughts. There's a certain spiritual belief system that there is a space between two thoughts, and you will glimpse eternity between two thoughts. Well, I'll tell you, you will not glimpse eternity between two thoughts. I've asked many large congregations of people, has anybody ever succeeded? And nobody ever has. Because that's not where the blankness is. The blankness is below the thoughts. It's prior to the thoughts. The thoughts follow each other in 1/10,000th of a second. Now, the experiencer, the perceiver aspect of the experiencer function of the ego can't operate that fast. Therefore, you're trying the impossible. You're trying to see something that occurs in less than 1/10,000th of a second. And the detector of this doesn't operate that fast. You will never find a blank space between two thoughts. What's happening is the thoughts are like flying fish coming out of the ocean. So as you see each flying fish, you see this fish over here is not causing that fish over there. So you don't look to the flying fish. The thoughts have occurred already. What you look to is the ocean. So you look below thoughts, the place to look for the infinite silent space is below thoughts. So if you look at thoughts as like a field on the horizon, now you look below the thoughts and you will see that each thought is arising separately, individually, autonomously, out of an infinite field of silence. And even as you listen to my voice right now, you think that your mind is busy listening to the voice, but underneath the listening to the voiceness is an infinite silence. If it wasn't for that infinite silence, you wouldn't be able to hear this voice, nor discern the meaning of the words, nor detect the languaging. It's because of the infinite silence of the mind. For the same reason, when you're out in the woods, you wouldn't be able to hear a bird if it wasn't for the infinite silence. Without the infinite silence in the background, you would not be able to hear anything. The bird's song is not interfering with the silence. It's occurring within the silence, and therefore you approach the mind with the same understanding. Because of the silence, you are aware of what you're thinking and feeling. Look to the silence. So when you look at a room, it's because of the emptiness of the room that you can see the furniture. So you begin to function closer to that which you are. Ever, ever closer is the infinite silence itself. Because that's the silence of the field of consciousness itself. The reason these discussions about science and consciousness get nowhere is because they constantly ruminate around about intellectualizations about the content of consciousness. Consciousness is the field itself. It's the field itself in which the thinkingness and all goes on. Consciousness is infinite and it's formless. It's outside of time and space. That's why with consciousness research, using like a simple kinesiologic question and answer, you can discern anything that ever happened anywhere in time or space. So everything that happens is recorded within this infinite field of consciousness forever. forever, for eternity. Everything, every thought, feeling, deed, everything you've ever said is recorded forever. In Scripture, it says, every hair on your head shall be counted. And we've tested this in front of many audiences, and we always get, that is true. That is the foundation and the basis of the specifics of karma. Karma means, by intention, every action has now imprinted forever, forever in the field of consciousness itself. One, therefore, is accountable for that which you have chosen to become. So what happens to you then is merely the consequence of your own choices. There is no arbitrary God sitting up there as a big, horrible judge that's going to throw you in hell if he's mad at you, or favor you and have the rain fall on you in great years of prosperity. That's sort of primitive, mythical, cultural, but not really the way it looks when you examine it up close. Divinity is impartial. By virtue of what it is, all things sort themselves out by virtue of that which they have become. And that which they have become, they have done via their own options and decisions. So to be responsible means to be aware of that. Do you want the karma of doing that? Don't ask yourself, do I want to do that? Do you want the karma of doing that? Oh, okay. Well, yes, and now that I see I have responsibilities. So you could weigh options by saying, which karmic consequence would I like? You look at it from that viewpoint, and it makes it a lot easier to make moral decisions. Which do I want to have to live with for God knows how long, in eternity even? As I talk about accountability, culpability versus responsibility, it becomes clear to you that you're responsible, and then the degree of moral thing is a whole different understanding. People mix up the two, but you can innocently make a mistake. So it's the intention of the action, intention of the action. You know, wisdom evolves slowly.